Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, you pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again.
This is the voice of prophecy, a voice crying in the wilderness of these modern days. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Coming again, Jesus is coming again.
From our Voice of Prophecy studios in Los Angeles, California, we welcome you to this half hour of inspiration and music, transcribed with the King's Heralds, Del Delker, Brad Braley, and HMS Richards, the Voice of Prophecy speaker.
Our Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt bless this broadcast. Remember all who hear the program. Help us to make plain and clear the necessity and the privilege of prayer. In Jesus' name.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God.
O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who bow before thee, near to the heart of God.
Amen.
No greater need exists today than a return to true religion by Wayne Hooper and Bob Edwards. God is in the shadows.
Shadows will be gone. is in the shadows. For his love is true, and he cares for you. Shadows, God is in the shadows. He will never, never leave you there alone. When you see the shadows of the evening creeping o'er the landscape of your life, just remember Jesus is your refuge. He will not forget you in the strife. Shadows, God is in the shadows. For his love is true, and he cares for you. Shadows, God is in the shadows. He will never, never leave you there alone.
Your Voice of Prophecy radio group enjoyed immensely its public appearance tour during June and the first part of July. After a short rest and contact with headquarters, we will be leaving again this week for another series of Voice of Prophecy rallies, this time in the Middle West. We will be at the Sunnydale Academy at Centralia, Missouri on Friday night and Saturday, August 3 and 4. That's Centralia, Missouri at the Sunnydale Academy. We would like to invite all our friends in this area to plan to attend the special evangelistic meetings that we will hold at that time. Here now is H.M.S. Richards, the Voice of Prophecy speaker. His subject today, Hindrances to Prayer.
W.T. Ellis says that while waiting in a palace in the city of Jeddah on the Red Sea for an appointment with King Ibn Saud of Arabia, he had a very amusing experience with one of the servants assigned to him, an Arab soldier. One night, the soldier came into his room and began to talk with him very confidingly and with much freedom. Dr. Ellis tried to make him understand that he could not understand Arabic. But the servant thought he could be understood by much speaking, so only talked faster and louder. Finally, an interpreter made it plain that he was asking for a new suit of clothes. His needs, no doubt, were great, and his petition was earnest. But it did not get through to the one who might have helped him because he did not use the right language. In the scripture we read, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. James 4, verse 3. Our prayers may go unanswered because we do not ask in the language of faith, obedience, and simple childlike reliance upon God's will. Beethoven could not have written his Moonlight Sonata in defiance of the laws of music. Michelangelo could never have chiseled his masterpiece, David, or built the Dome of St. Peter's in Rome in defiance of the laws of sculpture and architecture. The Wright brothers could not have made their first flight in an airplane in defiance of the law of gravity. So true prayer is not in defiance of God's laws in the natural and spiritual worlds. It must be in harmony with the laws of God. The first hindrance to prayer is a lack of faith. If we do not believe that God will answer, we shall receive no answer. For we read in the Word of God, Hebrews 11, 6, He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. George Mueller, a great man of prayer, was able to feed thousands of orphans for whom he raised millions of dollars by prayer alone. On one occasion, he was coming over to Canada and was due in Quebec for a certain engagement on Sunday. The ship was delayed by a dense fog near the banks of Newfoundland. Miller said to the captain, who himself was a Christian, I'm due in Quebec for Sunday, and I have never failed to keep an engagement. Impossible, said the captain. Don't you see the fog? Come down to my cabin, said Miller, and we'll bring it before God in prayer. They knelt together. Miller prayed first, very simply. The captain was just about to pray when Miller touched him, saying, No, don't you pray. You don't believe that God will take away the fog, and I believe that he has taken it away already. They went on deck, and sure enough, the fog was gone. Miller did keep his appointment. Jesus said, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Reading Mark 11:24. Many of us receive little because we expect little, because we ask little and expect less. He who created the mighty universe with its millions and billions of suns and unnumbered worlds, he who guides the electrons, protons, the atoms about us, stands back of every promise in his inspired word. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without his notice, and the very hairs of our head are numbered. Matthew 10:29. When Dr. William Goodell was preaching in Turkey, he brought to his old friend Dr. Cyrus Hamlin, president of Robert College in Constantinople, the sad news of the Sultan's decree banishing from the land all representatives of the Christian religion. Dr. Goodell said, It's all over with. We have to leave. The American consul and the British ambassador say that there's no use to antagonize this monarch. Dr. Hamlin calmly replied, The Sultan of the universe can, in answer to prayer, change the decree of the Sultan of Turkey. Then they gave themselves to prayer. The very next day, the Sultan's life came to an end and the decree was never executed. Now we come to our second point. Unforgiveness hinders prayers. We are to ask God to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 6:12. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The next two verses. Read the parable of Jesus in the 18th chapter of Matthew. The king had forgiven one of his servants a debt of 10,000 talents. Then that servant went out and seized one of his fellow servants who owed him only 100 pence and said, Pay me that thou owest. God's forgiveness of us is like hundreds of millions of dollars against a few pennies. When the king heard of the unforgiving spirit of his servant, he placed the responsibility of the enormous debt back upon him. Friends, it's dangerous to be unforgiving. How often shall we forgive a brother? Asked the apostle Peter. 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Matthew 18:21. That's 490 times, and no doubt by then we would have lost count. And here's the plain statement found in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Someone may say, Yes, I will forgive him, but I'll never forget. Or I'll forgive him, but I'll never have anything more to do with him. That's not real forgiveness, and it will never be accounted so in heaven. Suppose God should say, I'll forgive your sins, but I never want to see you again or have anything more to do with you. No, friends, when God forgives, he forgets. And so by God's grace, the Christian should so forgive that there remains no bitterness or rankling in his heart, but a sweet peace when God forgives and forgets.
Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he will forgive and forget. This is the hope of a sinner when when Satan's trials beset. Oh, it is wonderful, wonderful. Yes, it is wonderful, wonderful. Why should we sorrow with painful regret?
And here is another hindrance to prayer, a selfish spirit. As we read in James 4:3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Our prayers are not to be a selfish asking, merely for our own benefit. We are to ask that we may give. The principle of Christ's life must be the principle of our lives. Another hindrance to prayer is covetousness, which puts one under a curse, as we read in Malachi 3:7-9. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. A covetous spirit will hinder prayer. Another thing that hinders prayer is wrong relationships between husbands and wives. The Apostle Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter 3:7, which shows that everything must be right, that your prayers be not hindered. Those are the exact words. Any unconfessed, unforsaken sin grieves God and hinders prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, says the psalmist, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. God does not say that he will not hear us if we have sinned. No. Thank God he does not say that. He does say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us, 1 John 1:8. It is not that we have sinned in times past, but that we love sin and are not willing to part with it, and who do not honestly confess it and forsake it, that hinders prayer. A friend of mine stood before a large class of young people with an electric flashlight in his hand. He pressed the switch, but it would not light. He said, I tested the globe just before I left home, and it lighted all right then. He twisted the bulb a little, but still it would not light. Then he handed it to one of the boys and asked him to take it apart and see if he could find what the trouble was. He did. And when he took out the globe, he found between it and the battery a tiny piece of paper which offered just enough insulation to keep the current from getting through to the bulb. In Isaiah 59:2, we read, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Sin, unrepented of, unforsaken, and loved, is a hindrance to prayer. A disinclination or refusal to obey the known word of God is a hindrance to prayer In fact, it's an abomination to the Lord. We must remember also that to be sure that our sins do not hinder us and that our prayers are not hindered by them, we must be careful about irreverence and carelessness in repeating the name of God. I traveled in one land where could be seen the washerman standing in the sacred river pounding the clothes on a rock. With every stroke, he loudly exclaims the name of his God. In another land, the name of their God is repeated ceaselessly by voice and also on prayer wheels. Jesus tells us that we are not to be heard for our much speaking, nor for our endless repetitions. Prayer is a petition. Prayer is asking. Prayer is crying to God and telling Him our needs. Some people's prayers are hindered by carelessness, like those of a certain Mr. Brown, who, when asked to lead in prayer, said, "I was about to make a few remarks, but perhaps I can throw them into the form of a prayer." There are three parts of prayer. First, worship, acknowledging all that God is and bowing before Him. Second, praise, thanking God for all He has done. Third, intercession, bringing before God our needs and the needs of others. Avoiding the hindrances to prayer which we have mentioned, let us remember to obey the words of the Lord Jesus that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Friends, we must have faith in God. We must trust Him. Billy Sunday once told another man about his little girl who was obliged to have an operation. Just before receiving the anesthetic, she asked the doctor, "What are you going to do to me?" The kind doctor answered, "My dear, we're going to operate and then you'll be well again. You'll be able to run and play as you used to do." The child persisted, "But what's going to happen now?" "My darling, we're going to put you to sleep so you'll not feel the hurt." Then she said, "But before I go to sleep, I always say my prayers." And there in the presence of those men, she kneeled down and prayed. Friends, do we have that childlike faith and trust in God? "Except ye become converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." And may we enter that kingdom of grace now by faith.
Cheers.
the response to our book offer for this month, entitled How to Get Answers in Faith.
Have faith in God. No doubting anywhere. Have faith in God. No hindrance to prayer. Have faith in God. Our hearts surrendered there. Have faith, dear friend, in God. We hope this transcribed program has brought blessing to you. And now we invite you to join us again next week at this same time for another broadcast brought to you by the Voice of Prophecy. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.